It's World Book Day on Thursday the 3rd of March. Happens every year. I always get an email from the school saying, please send your child to school wearing a particular costume of your favourite literary character, usually Roald Dahl.
What's Charlie going to go as?
My little boy.
Yeah.
You see, now you've stumped me. I don't know.
Oh, right.
And now I look like a bad parent. This is a good way to start a podcast, isn't it?
Sounds like you thought about it.
Round the table today, we're going to be talking today about books, literature, disabled characters, all of that kind of thing. But we are not front row on Radio 4, the arts programme.
Okay, we're so not front row.
We're just people who like this kind of stuff and feel we're going to kick it around. The people we're talking about is Lee Kumasat is here.
Hello.
Beth Rose.
Hello.
Beth is new to Ouch.
Hello, Beth.
Welcome along.
Hi. Welcome, Beth.
And down the line from Edinburgh is Emma Tracy.
Hello.
So what I've asked everybody to do is to come up with their favourite disabled character from film or TV. Maybe we start with Lee.
Well, I'm afraid you've struck out there because I'm not somebody who reads books or watches films for that particular content. So
you mean you don't like watching disability stuff? You don't? You avoid it?
I will avoid it, I'm afraid. I like it when it's inserted in and it's part of the storyline, it's part of a plot. But if it's particularly about a disability or a person with a disability or a biopic, no, I'm afraid I'd tune out. Having said that, I recently read a book that I liked. I think you're reading or kind of dipping in and out of, Damon, which was called All the Light We Cannot See. And I only started reading it because my old boss said it was worth a read. And I still do what my old boss tells me to do. So I went and read this book, and he was right. I'm always ready to cringe. I'm pretty hypercritical when it comes to reading about my own disability. But the thing about this book, and it's set in World War II, and it has a newly blinded character. She loses her sight at 6. And the thing about it is that her father, she doesn't have a mother, her father actually has very high expectations of what his daughter can do. And it kind of walks that line very well between being a blind superhero and somebody who has nothing expected of them. And it's very well described. So I guess I'm sort of going for more a book and a portrayal than a particular character.
So that's one of the criticisms, isn't it, often of caricatures. But disabled people are either seen as super crip, as we said in the last podcast.
Yes.
Or what, pathetic, tragic human being.
Yeah, exactly. And it was the descriptions of her world that were very well done. He'd clearly done his research. There were some things that jarred, of course, and there were some things that I thought, yeah, no, that ain't going to happen. But I would say 80% pretty good. And, you know, Damon, you are dipping in and out of it.
I picked up on it because it is set in Second World War. The fact that it was a blind character initially put me off as well. I have to admit, I'm blind and I don't like reading about blind characters, especially when it's not written by a blind person. But the thing that I liked was that she is, as I understand it, she's a person who listens to the wireless and she gets in touch with a young German officer who is a wireless controller, radio controller, back in his hometown. And eventually they get to meet up. And that struck me as something of a slightly interesting, ingenious plot.
Slightly intriguing.
Intriguing.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what grabbed me.
I want to read that now. But more because you guys have recommended it than anything. I think I would have avoided it. But now that, again, guess what? I'm blind too. Now that another blind person has recommended it, I kind of feel like it might be worth a look. But I think on its own, I wouldn't have gone there because, again, I feel affronted, personally affronted when blindness is done badly. And
yes.
I actually have an irrational anger about it. And
Why?
I just think if they'd only asked me, or asked enough blind people, they'd know that that's not going to be, that's not right. You know,
like what? What sort of things are you talking about? What has bugged you in the past? What examples?
Well, I suppose there's the classic sort of extra senses and heightened hearing and stuff like that, that happens. It's like when people get Ireland wrong. It's the same sort of rage
Yeah.
You know, it's like when EastEnders went to Ireland and it was like cows in the street and stuff. That just upset me.
That was brilliant. Chickens in the street were clucking past.
That made me...
Great stereotype.
That was so upsetting. And it's the same when a big part of your life and you gets badly represented. It's upsetting.
But don't you think to some extent, though, you know, people who are readers and discerning readers might think that for themselves and might actually go, you know what, not only is this a stereotype, but it's really bad writing and this person clearly hasn't done their research? Or do you think people just kind of, you know, absorb what they see and
I think
hear?
They just absorb it.
Really?
A lot of them.
They do absorb it. You just pass, you know, you carry on with the story and think to yourself, that doesn't seem quite right.
I've just read Jojo Moyes' sequel to Me Before You, called After You. And I read it because I really enjoyed everything but the story that sold the book and made it so, so huge. I love all the little side stories in the book. But I found the main story, which is an assisted suicide story, I found that very, very difficult to cope with in that first book. Well, and then she was dealing with her grief in the second book, which was kind of interesting. But yeah, so the disability was a big part. The other main character, Louise's love interest, was quadriplegic, and he decides he wants to take his own life.
Despite what other people would see as having quite a good life and the potential, because I've read this as well, and the potential of a relationship between the two of them as well.
Yeah.
Because they met when she was his carer.
That's absolutely right. And their relationship, he was really sort of feisty and grumpy, and, you know, their relationship was really good. But the actual sort of what it was based on, I found very difficult, but the rest of the book I found great. I demolish disability stuff in general, TV, films, I go to see them all, and, you know, I like to be hypercritical, I like to pick them apart, and I like to enjoy them as well.
You will look, you know, if you see something that's advertised on television that's disability related, you will watch it, you're drawn
to
it.
I think it's from working for Ouch for 10 years, though. You know, I think I'm the wrong person to be seen as, you know, to take a survey about this with, because it's been my job. I've interviewed a lot of disabled people. It's my job to find the interesting good ones and to find the interesting good stories. But I enjoy it as well.
Okay, Beth, new to Ouch.
Yes,
Remy. What's your choice?
One of my favourite characters in one of my favourite books was when I was about 11, and I just picked out a book at school purely because of the cover, and it was called Marianne Dreams. I don't know if anyone else has heard of it, but it was quite hard to kind of buy a few years later. And it's about this girl called Marianne who is, she's either seriously ill and she's stuck in bed for a really, really long time. And she's about 12, I think. And the only thing she can do, which entertains her, is draw pictures. And when she falls asleep, she has quite vivid dreams and she ends up being sucked into this world that she's drawn. And the more and more ill she becomes, the sort of more hallucinations she has, and the more dramatic her drawings are. So she creates this house, and that's very nice, but then she creates an army which are coming to attack the house. And she meets this other boy called Mark, who she eventually meets in real life and who is in a wheelchair. And they have to defeat this army. And at the end, it's not like a happy ending. They don't both magically get better and walk off. But the story was just so gripping. It just had a real, I need to read the next chapter thing. And I've read that maybe two or three times, and I really don't like reading books again. And then my other half character, half favourite, is Lisbeth Salander from the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo series, where it's hinted by one of the main characters that she has got Asperger's syndrome, but it's never actually stated. But she is a good character, I think in part because she's so good at something, and I would really like to be as good as her at something.
So she's got that sort of geeky focus, that Asperger, the stereotype.
She has that stereotype. She's very focused. She's not very good in social situations. She can't be doing with idle chit-chat. And she's very insular and isolated, but she does have one or two really strong relationships with some other character. One character in particular, Michael Blomkvist, who is the main journalist in the series, who is uncovering the underworld of Sweden.
There's that character in The Bridge we wrote about recently. It's not that often that we see female characters either on the autistic spectrum.
What has really struck me when we, because we only really sort of started talking about this and coming up with this idea, you know, yesterday, is how many books I can think of now that have disabled characters in them, but I didn't really analyse their disability or clock their disability. They were just characters in a story.
Got an example?
Well, I was thinking about The Secret Garden.
Colin! Well.
Yeah.
Colin. How was he described? So he was in a bath chair and he had a hunchback?
Yeah, he did. And he wasn't the most pleasant character, you know, for some of the book. But
he couldn't see light. He had to, all his, the curtains were drawn, weren't they? He was kept in a dark room.
Gardening killed him.
And Mary Lennox, of course, his friend.
Yes.
Who came to save him.
Yes. And the other one I was thinking of, and it's interesting how, you know, you'd think of these things as a child compared to how you think of them as an adult. I read What Katie Did when I was a child and loved it. And I've just reread so What Katie Did was written in 1872. So in a way, it was kind of a little bit, you know, ahead of its time. And it was about a girl who didn't have a mum and sort of had to look after her siblings and, you know, wanted to be kind and good, but ended up getting into scrapes and, you know, getting into all sorts of trouble. Swung too high on a swing, the swing broke and she broke her back and was really miserable and really grumpy about it. And then she had a relative come to visit her who was an invalid in inverted commas, who said, this has to be the thing that teaches you to be good and kind. So you are now in the school of pain, which will teach you all these things. And so that's what she became, and she ran the household from her bed and became this wonderful saintly person and then began to walk again.
It's a bit
Pollyanna, but I loved it as a kid because it was about a happy ending, and that's all as a child I wanted. You know, there was hardship, and there was relationships, and there were sibling relationships, and there were parents, and those are the things that as a child I wanted. Now I would read it, and I would absolutely just want to kill all of them. Probably.
I've been aware of What Katie Did for a long time, but I wasn't really aware that that's what it was about.
No,
was
I had no idea.
But the Pollyanna link is nice. Of course, that was a Disney film in the 1960s. Hayley Mills was Pollyanna. And it came from, what I love about it is that it came from a book from the, I think, the 20s called The Glad Girl. And I just think, what a great disability title. What a great one. I've got some books. Shall I share some of my...
I was going to ask, Damon.
That's all right. The Contact. You know, have you ever seen the film Contact with Jodie Foster? Oh, dear, I've got a feeling my choices are going to bomb. Contact, Jodie Foster?
Well, I've heard of it.
I know who Jodie Foster is.
It's from a book by Carl Sagan. It's a very popular book. And in it is a character called Kent. He's blind. And he's just there. And it sounds like one of those horrible things that people always say, but he's just there in the background. He is blind. We know he's blind. But he's there. He's searching for extraterrestrial life. He's an astronomer. And he comes from a real-life character, actually, called Kent Colours, because I looked into this, and this is what excited me. Kent Colours was a real-life blind guy who worked for the SETI project, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence in the States. But my absolute favourite is The Time Traveller's Wife. Anyone read that?
Yeah, I don't remember anyone, though.
You see, this is the thing. That is totally a disability book. The main character in it, Henry, it's a love story between him and his partner, Claire. And he keeps getting whipped away because he has chrono impairment. It's a time-travelling disease where he can't stay linked to one particular point in time for too long and disappears off. And there's one moment, I wonder if there's a... There might be a bit of a spoiler alert here, but there's one moment where he, as a result of this time travelling, he becomes more disabled than he already is, physically disabled, which causes even more of a problem for him. Every time he suddenly gets whipped away, he has to deal with where he lands in a different point in time as a disabled person now. And it's the most fascinating, most heart-wrenchingly, most excellent disability book out there, though most people wouldn't think of it as a disability book.
See, I've switched off already.
Well, really?
Yes. What? Really?
Yeah, I've switched off.
Why?
Time travel.
It's very good.
It's very fun.
But it's one of those books, although we're saying it's about time travel, I can't stand fantasy.
Really? That's why I've switched off.
Anything along those lines. But it's a very real-life book, isn't it? It's just...
Yeah. It's all about relationships.
Does anyone remember the first kind of film or TV program or book that they read where they clocked the person had a disability?
Oh, Mary going blind in Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, for goodness sake, I'd forgotten about that.
Oh, God, that was the first time I watched telly and was very emotional about it.
Really?
I know this is Little House on the Prairie. I know, I realise this. I know this is absolutely ridiculous. I guess you don't see, you didn't see blind people and young, very young blind people. And just actually the episode where she goes blind, for Little House on the Prairie, it's very harrowing. Oh, is my God, I must have been about 10 or something.
Is it an illness that made her blind?
A quickly progressing eye condition. I don't know what it was.
But from what I remember, it wasn't long lasting.
I don't think she ever got her sight back. Her husband did. She went to a school for the blind and then married the man who ran it and they both taught at it.
Oh.
And then he got his sight back. And that actually, interestingly, caused loads of problems for them too, because it was all, it changed the balance and stuff like that. So
the main one is probably the Secret Garden, but the one I remember on TV as a child is the classic Biker Grove PJ and Duncan paintballing accident.
We're all so showing our age.
So I was probably about 9 when that happened. So they went paintballing as part of, so Biker Grove was this youth club, and they went paintballing, and I think there was a dispute between like the boys and the girls, and either PJ or Duncan, I can't remember, played by Ant and Deck,
was one or the other playing one
or the other.
other,
was hit not once but twice by paintballs, both in the eyes, and he lost his sight. And then they followed him through, I don't know, a year? You can't remember that age, can you?
No.
Everything he kind of had to get used to. But PJ or Duncan stood by whichever one was injured. And actually, a few years later, Biker Grove again had a character called Greg, who was hit by a car and was paralysed from the waist down. And that was quite an intense storyline. That lasted a long time. And that was quite interesting because I'd never seen a child kind of in that situation before. And he was about the same age as me. He's maybe like 14 by then.
Does anyone remember the movie Mask?
No.
With Eric Stoltz? Now I am showing
yes,
my age.
Yes, I do. I've seen it. With Cher.
With Cher, exactly. And Eric Stoltz. And it had two people with disabilities in it. Eric Stoltz had a facial disfigurement. And his lifestyle, what was interesting about that film was that the lifestyle that his family lived was a little bit out on the edge. They were part of a biker gang, and his mum was addicted to drugs. But she was absolutely determined that he would live as normal a life as possible. And of course, he goes away, well, not of course, but he goes away to summer camp for blind people and meets a blind person who he falls in love with. And interesting interaction, and I can't yet decide whether I like this or not, but he decides that he wants to teach her about colour, and she feels his face and, of course, isn't affected by his disfigurement in any way because, you know, we can't see, so therefore we don't judge. I guess I don't really like that one.
Yeah. No, I've heard people saying blind people can't be racist, for instance.
Well, exactly. Yeah. So moving swiftly on from that point, he gives her things that are meant to denote colour, like cotton wool for clouds and a red hot potato for red and ice for blue. And it's meant to kind of, you know, she says, I get it. Anyway, her parents are like, oh, I better not tell you the end.
But I don't get it, though. I wouldn't get that.
The colours and the heat and the cold.
I think it's a nice idea.
Yeah.
It's very sweet.
Yeah, I think it was the effort he put into it that I liked more than the actual concept.
Exactly.
I think it's a bit of a sight-centric thing, isn't it? Blue is cold.
It totally is. Yeah, no, I know what you mean, though. I like the film, too. I like the film. I love that he went to a camp for blind people, obviously, so they couldn't see.
So they couldn't see.
He could help them and they wouldn't be upset by him. Just, I know, again, you could talk about this all day, I think.
That's
but
really
I think my favourite sort of quick insertion of disability is in the film Elf, where Will Ferrell plays a guy who Santa brought up as an elf, but he's a really tall man. And then he finds out that Santa's not his real dad and he goes to New York to find his real dad. And his real dad's in a publishing office and he's in there with him. And one of the new authors comes in and he's Peter Dinklage, who's a person of restricted growth. And Buddy, the elf, thinks that Peter Dinklage is an actual elf because all the elves he grew up with are that size. And he's like, oh, you're an elf and you must love candy floss and blah, blah, blah. And Peter Dinklage is playing this really, really grumpy, really angry, grumpy author. And he just beats him up. He beats Buddy up. And it's great because it's 90 seconds maybe. Mm. And it's a really funny, but in a absolutely acceptable disability funny way. And you can tell Peter Dinklage just loved coming in it because he doesn't do disability parts at all. You know, Munchkins or anything like that. He does very serious films, really good films.
Most famous now for Game of Thrones. Mm.
Yes, of course. But that insertion of disability just for a minute is great.
Can I say something that will probably make you all groan? That I do love the film Rain Man.
Well, you seem to be saying it with some hesitation. You think we're going to say judge you?
Yeah, I think you are. You're going to judge
Why?
Me.
Why do you think that?
Because it's so stereotype, isn't it? And you know, for people with autism, and you know, the mannerisms and the focus and the repetitive speech, and can't help it, love it.
Can we go around the table? Who likes Rain Man?
Well, I've seen it, but I can't really remember much of it to make a judgment. I did enjoy it.
I saw it like 5 times at the cinema.
It's the classic that everybody always brings up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dustin Hoffman won an Oscar.
I know, I'm
which
boring,
upset people.
But I like it.
And
yeah, most of the people with autism I've met have said I'm not Rain Man. You know?
Yeah. This is the thing, hasn't it? It's made people believe that people with autism can count toothpicks that have been dropped on the floor.
I don't know that I took that much on board. I don't think I thought that every person with autism would be able to count matchsticks.
I think the only thing it taught me, perhaps, was that savants like him do exist and can exist, which I didn't know before.
Yeah, and I thought that more, again, for me, was the development of the relationship between him and his brother. You know, he really didn't want to have anything to do with him, and in the end, you know, he got to a point where he could understand him a bit more.
Talking about savants.
A bit Hollywood eyes, but it was, I thought, quite well done.
Talking about savants, I just heard a podcast on the way into work this morning called The Hidden Mind from NPR. And it had a person on it who has late onset savantism, which I didn't realise was a thing.
No.
It was only kind of later in life when he dived into a swimming pool. He probably says dove because he's American.
Yeah.
Into a swimming pool. And he did something to his brain, which then enabled him to be able to pick up piano music and play the most incredibly complex bits of music.
Wow. Do you mean he hit his head?
Yeah. No, he hit the top left-hand side of his face. But it's also brought on some kind of ADHD and other problems. But we're wandering off subject.
Yeah, we are, kind of.
And maybe this is the point to close. World Book Day is on Thursday. What are you going to send your child to school in if you have a child?
Have you got an answer yet, Damon?
I'm going to send him as Tiny Tim. I'll just give him a stick. It'll be very easy.
It'll be fine.
Is it all down to the costume and what you've got in the cupboard, really?
Something like
yeah.
that. Mumsnet have got a whole load of suggestions for no-sew costumes. So I recommend you go and have a look at that. If you want to contact us at BBC Ouch on Twitter, you can email ouch@bbc.co.uk. And we are on Facebook. Until next Friday, thank you for listening.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.